Okay, I got an update from Trulia. I get the Trulia real estate emails every week, and I got one featuring a house in Blanchardville.
Really?
And I almost forwarded it to Audio Dave because I know how much you love Blanchardville. And turns out the real estate is very affordable.
Really?
Yes.
I was actually just back there a couple weekends ago.
I don't believe
with
it.
With the first weekend of camping opening up, we returned to our favorite campsite that I'm still not allowed to say on air by my wife because it is such a hidden gem. But
that was so smooth.
We drove through Blanchardville again, and it is still just as breathtaking and amazing as I left it. I was not greeted this time with the key to the city like I was hoping for, and I still have not been invited to be in their parade. But I will still continue to sing their praise until that happens.
You are definitely the future mayor of Blanchardville. I see it now.
I look forward to that.
I've never heard a Key to the City campaign quite like this. You should get one next time you go.
You're doing a good job campaigning for yourself, though.
Getting the DMs, is that what the kids are saying?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy.
Blanchardville.
Oh, my goodness.
Hit me up.
What are we talking about today?
Well, actually, we're talking about other hidden gems in a way. And we're going to talk drive-ins coming up.
Like movies or like food?
Like food and drink and just some of the tastiest places around the state. Locally owned drive-ins in Wisconsin coming up.
The Cabin is brought to you by the Wisconsin Counties Association, and this week we're featuring Ozaukee County. Ah. Ozaukee translates to people living at the mouth of a river. I love how just straight to the point they were with the names of rivers and towns and counties back then.
And like, you know, the Milwaukee River runs through there and several others, but I don't know what river mouth is in Ozaukee County.
Okay, you know how last week we talked about the history of Wisconsin?
Yeah.
One little tidbit I came across, speaking of names of things, is that Prairie du Sac means prairie like a sack or bag, like a bag-shaped prairie. And I'm like, that is the worst translation.
Prairie?
I know, what is even a bag? It said bag or sack-shaped prairie. I don't know what that means.
Interesting.
And now you know why I didn't include it in the history segment last week, which is fascinating.
Thank you for including it this week.
But bags can be any shape.
Exactly. That's why I find it confusing, because it's like, what is this? Now I want to go look at the outline of
like gases. Bags are just the shapes of the container they're in.
But this is not about Sauk County. This is about Ozaukee County. It is mind blown here. It is the smallest land area county in this state, covering 235 square miles. And I'm going to be honest, I had to fact check Ellen on this because for the last 7 years, I've been spreading some falsehoods in that I've been saying Pepin County is the smallest county in Wisconsin by land mass. So I'm like in major denial here over this fact, but I looked it up and you've got it right.
The difference is 14 whole square miles.
Hey, just, look who doesn't have an error in this segment
close.
For once.
Go, girl. Yeah, by population, obviously, Ozaukee's really got it there in terms of higher population.
Oh, versus Pepin, absolutely.
Yeah, Pepin is pretty tiny in terms of population and square miles. So maybe when they say when Pepin County says they're the smallest county, they're just meaning like combining the land mass and the population. Can
well,
you do
maybe
that?
They're counting water territory too, because Ozaukee County technically goes way out into Lake Michigan.
Wow.
As well. So, wow. It can depend. I suppose if you're including water territory, Pepin's smaller. If you're not, Ozaukee's smaller. Hmm. Shall we leave it at that?
Yeah, I suppose.
I think we should. Another cool fact about Ozaukee County, speaking of history, Flag Day was first observed in the United States in Ozaukee County.
Really?
I didn't know that.
That was also 1885. So hamburgers and Flag Day both came about in Wisconsin that year.
I didn't know that. Yeah, there's
Waubeka, which is right next to Fredonia. Around Port Washington, Grafton, that
whole
area.
It's a stunning county, and I've been wanting to do a show there. It's one of only eight. I have eight counties left to film Discover Wisconsin in, and Ozaukee County is one of them.
Really?
I've been there. I haven't filmed Discover Wisconsin there.
Hmm.
So I've been hitting up, the Cedarburgs of the world, saying, Port Washington, can I come in, bring the crew?
Trying to figure out if I have
Very
now.
Pretty. You have not. I don't think we've featured Ozaukee County in a long time.
I did a commercial shoot in Mequon one time. That's So I've been in front of a camera in Ozaukee County. That's about it. But, you know, it's where Cedarburg is, Port Washington, a great town. And, Mequon is the whole southern, practically half of Ozaukee County. So a lot of Milwaukee suburbs extend up into Ozaukee.
About 85,000 people call Ozaukee County home, which is kind of crazy to think how tiny it is and how many people are packed into that little rectangular-shaped county.
Yep.
Kind of cool. Yeah. All right. That's your county of the week.
All right. And this week's campfire conversation. Oh, we're getting tasty. Wisconsin's best bites. Drive-in edition. We may do other bites, but we're focused.
Okay. Raise your hand if you've been to a drive-in in Wisconsin.
Does Sonic count?
Wait, am I the only one?
Yeah.
It's just you.
I'm excited to be enlightened by this podcast firsthand.
Indeed.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. When I saw we were doing this as an episode, I loved it. I think it's a great topic. But I'm like, this is, I might have to phone this one in. It's going to be all Eric because I've only been to one of them, which you know the one I've been to.
We were
on a shoot there. And Sonic doesn't count because it's a chain.
Yeah.
Right, although the spirit is similar. Now, most of the drive-ins we're talking about are really the traditional ones. And drive-ins really came about in the 40s. And especially the 50s and 60s, you pull your car up. Most of the time, a car hop would come out and be your server, and you'd order. They'd bring the food out to you and put it on a tray that hangs off your window. Now, not all the drive-ins in Wisconsin still do the car hop thing or the tray, but some do. But others are just you pull your car up and they serve you.
Okay,
in your
I
car,
have an idea.
Especially nowadays.
Because you are an expert on this topic, and I mean that when you Google drive-ins in Wisconsin, your website pops up as like 17 drive-ins to go
yes,
to.
My statetrunktour.com site. I do a lot of research on that.
I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and then you're gonna pick the drive-in that best answers it and kind of give us an overview of that drive-in.
Okay. So, and there's another one on here I want to mention too. So.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So first of all, how many drive-ins are there roughly in Wisconsin?
I don't even have all of them down yet, but I've counted at least 21 or 22 locally owned.
21.
Wow.
And you're defining that as literally you can drive up in your car and order food in some capacity.
Yeah. I mean, in some cases you have to get out and order, but at a window, but I'm counting most of these will have people who will come out to your car and take your order.
Okay.
So, with or without roller skates?
That was going to be, yes, one thing I asked.
Usually without, but in some cases with.
Well, let's start with that one. Give me a drive-in or more than one with the wait staff on roller skates because that matters to me. That's going to be my first drive-in. They've got to be on roller skates.
Well, then we're going to go to Ozaukee County because Wayne's drive-in in Cedarburg does that very thing. And part of the reason I know is because I filmed at Wayne's. So I guess I have filmed in Ozaukee County. One of the dairy episodes because you were talking about ice cream and burgers and things like that. And I was a skating car hop in that episode. I found my rollerblades from the 1990s, kind of got my sea legs, and managed to deliver a shake and some ice creams and a burger to some people with a soda on that tray.
Were you nervous?
Without crashing. Actually, I was because I'm kind of clumsy on those things.
I am an avid rollerblader, but even I can't multi, like you give me something to carry and I would be out of my wits, I think.
Well, if you see that episode, it was Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dairy Bars. That was the name of the episode. If you see me on those skates, you kind of see the spot where you can almost see where like push my tongue in my cheek. You can see my face just contorting a little because I'm concentrating so hard trying not to spill in front of all these people and the camera and everything.
Man, that would have made for a great blooper.
I love bloopers.
Wait, I just had an epiphany. I have been to a drive-in with roller skates, Rudy's in La Crosse.
Oh, yes, that's another one.
Okay.
And Rudy's has two locations. They're in La Crosse and they have one in Sparta. And they do a really good job. They have great burgers and great root beer.
Very popular spot in La Crosse. I know that for sure.
Very, very much so.
Okay, give us one with, this is probably going to be tough to answer because they're all classic, but in your opinion, what would you say is like the most classic, iconic drive-in?
I'm going to have to go with, and I know it's going to be a controversial pick or whatever, but oh gosh, can I do a tie?
Sure.
Okay, I'm gonna name two. One is The Spot in Kenosha, which dates back to 1945. I'm a little biased because my dad grew up in Kenosha and I've known The Spot all my life, but their burgers, their deep fried curds, their beverage, everything is great. I forgot if they're on skates or not, but you do eat off the tray.
Cool.
And it is, but it's been there in its original form. They have two locations now, but the original location, which is on 75th Street and I think 22nd Avenue in Kenosha, it's just the classic place, and it's changed very little. Even the neon sign is original, a big circle that says The Spot on it, and just a phenomenal place. But another one, almost as old, and they do have, last time I was there, they were skating around, Artie and Ed's in Oshkosh, which is on the south side of town along US 45. You can see Lake Winnebago from the parking lot, and they have great food on the tray, and it's a classic place, too. That's changed a little more over the years, but it remains quite the classic place.
What can you give us in the Northwoods of Wisconsin?
There aren't as many in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, which makes sense because the season is so much shorter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do have to mention the place we both went to because we didn't get into detail. Mm-hmm. But on Washington Island, still Door County, but you got to take a ferry to get to this drive-in, the Albatross, which is run by a family. And they're really great. They were so much fun to talk with.
Yeah.
And I know some of the people live in other parts of the country in the winter, and then they come back for the summer and make just incredibly tasty food.
Yes.
The Albee Burger, I'm on a mission to get back there for another Albee Burger and some curds soon. And that was the episode where I had to pretend I didn't know you were going to show up. And
yeah, we did. I think
I acted in that episode.
We've referenced this shoot multiple times on the podcast. Uh-huh. And just to give a little more backstory, the whole episode was framed around the idea of Eric heading to all of these different restaurants.
Yep. Diners, drive-ins
in Wisconsin, and then getting kind of interrupted by another co-host. So I was up on Washington Island. He knew I was there, obviously, behind the scenes. But the idea was that I just popped in and, showed up at the Albatross, stole his cheese curds.
And I had to act surprised.
And he had to act surprised, yes. And I was just on vacation is what I had to say on camera.
You know, it's funny, though, because I do a little establishing shot on the Washington Island ferry. I'm like, coming up, we're taking another way to, however I did that. But in the scene where you're looking at the island and the boat's moving forward, you're down there.
I'm in the background.
You can see you. Now, and you can't see your face.
A little bit of a continuity error there.
But
sure they were like, get out of the shot, Mariah.
The shorts you wore, you could tell it was you if you know what you look like, right? And you were wearing the same clothes when you showed up behind me. So
how did we not see one another on the ferry until we get to the outshot?
It's amazing, right? Elsewhere up north, and I know these aren't the Northwoods per se, but up in Greenville, which is northwest of Appleton. Charlie's Drive-In is a classic that's been around since the 60s. And yes, that was another one that was in the drive-in, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dairy Bars was The Drive-In. Simple name. The Drive-In in Grantsburg. And we just talked about Grantsburg, too, with Bricktown Brewing, with the farm family a couple weeks ago. And they're right by where the drive-in is. It's right on Highway 70 where 48 and 87 end. And so I don't know if that counts as downtown Grantsburg or not, but the root beer they make is phenomenal. And they had great curds and great burgers, and they will serve you both inside and out. And they also have a sister drive-in just over the border in Taylor's Falls, Minnesota.
Can't talk about that.
On the other side of St. Croix Falls.
No, I'm just kidding.
You can see Wisconsin from that place, though. Okay. It's that close.
So are there any on your list that are just particularly unique for any given reason?
Oh, boy. Well, they all have a little bit of a uniqueness to them.
Maybe what's on their menu or just kind of what you experience when you get there.
Yeah, because I'm imagining a lot of burgers, shakes, fries. Are there any, curveballs on the menu?
Some of them serve gyros.
Ooh.
And Italian beef sandwiches.
Okay.
And things like that. Their specialty is generally burgers and hot dogs. French fries and onion rings, soda, root beer, ice cream, and custard. There's a great classic one that has a nice little kids play area called the Milty Wilty, which has been around since 1948. That's in Wautoma, along Highways 21 and 73 on the way into town. I love the fact that a lot of these drive-ins have classic car shows.
Yeah.
Mm.
And we're talking Rumble Seats in Spring Green, which is right along 14 near Taliesin.
Most unique name for a drive-in.
Rumble Seats?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, the rest of their names are very classic. I was just thinking in my head, they're all like somebody's first name followed by a drive-in.
Yeah, like Dick's Drive-In in Kaukauna, which has been famous for mostly for ice cream for a long time. And they have a good picnic area. We talked about Wayne's in Cedarburg. Gus's Drive-In in East Troy. Phenomenal onion rings. They have a classic car show there, too. They're along the old highway before they built I-43. They were along the main drag between Beloit and Milwaukee. I just found one not too long ago in Elkhorn called Annie's Burger Town.
Oh.
I was with someone named Annie
car.
And we're like, oh, my God.
Is this the one that was just on your Instagram a couple days ago?
Yes, that's the one. And so that was great. And this particular person also worked at another drive-in that I've loved all my life because it's the first place I ever ate a hamburger. It was in the town I lived in when I was a little kid, and it's in Oconomowoc, and it's called the Kilty.
I can't believe you remember your very first burger.
Yeah,
well,
I
was told.
Remember that.
Impressive.
My parents told me about that.
Okay.
They were passing a burger from one front seat to the other, and my two-year-old hand reached out and grabbed a chunk of it and ate it.
A star is born in the back seat.
Yeah, well, who knows? I'd end up eating burgers on TV decades
later. Your parents knew. They were like, yeah. They saw it.
But the Kilty has car hops and the tray and everything. I don't think they skate much anymore, but I know that... I mean, I was just there on Flag Day a couple Sundays ago, and just phenomenal. And when the weather's nice, especially in the month of June, after we've waited so long, the place was just absolutely packed.
So all of these are seasonal?
Well, they are, but some are open longer than others. Most are around Memorial Day to around Labor Day, or maybe early October. There's one that opened. I went to it in February. It was like 18, 20 degrees, and I got car hop service, got a burger, and... It was delicious, and that's Gillis's in Fond du Lac. And they are a sister to the Gillis's in Wauwatosa, which I don't consider a drive-in per se. That's more of a walk-in restaurant because they don't come out and serve you at the car. But the one in Fond du Lac, which is along Main Street, which was the old main highway going in, they will you basically get this long, complex menu that you check off what you want. And
I would think this would be a great way to dine out in an era of social distancing.
That's the thing. Both drive-in movies and drive-in restaurants are experiencing quite a resurgence during this COVID era. And it just totally makes sense because everybody's safely and very comfortably distant from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think people are also into nostalgia more than usual right about
now. I love that too. I love that.
And there's something about going to the drive-in that really brings that back.
I hope drive-in movies get a comeback next.
Well, they've started to.
Have
and
they?
I did a whole article on that.
Oh, good. Because all I've been reading over the past 5 to 10 years is like this one closed, this one closed, this one closed. So I'm hoping that we do see a nice, I hope you're right.
The Mallard Stadium in Madison is offering drive-in movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And a stadium in Milwaukee County where the Milwaukee Milkmen play. They established the Milky Way drive-in in their parking lot.
That's great.
Yeah, the Milwaukee, have you heard of them?
Never heard of the Milwaukee.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Independent professional baseball. So it's pro baseball, but it's a minor.
It's not like the Mallards? Is it on like, is that
well, the Mallards is Northwoods League, so they won't play each other, I don't think. But yeah, so a lot of, like a lot of sports stadiums are repurposing for this era.
Yeah.
And even indoor movie theaters, when they were completely closed off to having anyone in, they're starting to reopen a little bit now, cautiously.
Okay.
They're starting to show them in their parking lots. So actually, maybe we should get into that more in the campfire conversation.
Maybe
in a week
so.
Or two,
maybe so.
We've got the summer season for it going for a while.
So I have to ask, do you have a favorite on your list of Wisconsin drive-ins?
I'd have to say the Kilty.
The Kilty. And this was the one you first had your burger?
But that's like your favorite kid, you know. It's hard to...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's when I first had a burger. But all their stuff's really good. Gus's is way up there in East Troy. Of course, I love the spot, partially for the history.
Okay.
And, but really, none of the drive-ins I went to, I never went away disappointed with any of them.
How could you?
Oh, and I got to give a shout out to another really great one, Chester's Drive-In in Plymouth, which is along Highway C going into town. They really have a lot of phenomenal food, too, in car hops.
What's the oldest in Wisconsin?
Spot.
In Kenosha?
I believe. Yeah, 1945 is
Your
when that
depth
opened.
Of knowledge on this specific topic is just insane.
I didn't even try. I was like, I'm just going to ask the questions. You're going to be answering.
Well, I did a lot of research, both online and down the gullet. You know?
I know we say this every episode. Now we've got to do in episode 21, we talked about iconic Wisconsin bars, and it was brought up that we're going to go on a road tour to go live from some of these iconic bars. And now I'm like, okay, we need to go to the Kilty and go live for the Cabin Podcast.
I'm down for that anytime.
We're going to have to eat noisy, something though. Between all those bars.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. This is a strategic decision.
Wait, that's an excellent idea.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Well, thanks, Eric. That was so enlightening. I learned a lot.
Thank you. Aren't we all hungry now?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So hungry.
So hungry.
Oh, my God. The Cabin is sponsored in part by Marshfield Clinic. The Marshfield Clinic healthcare system has more than 50 locations in northern, central, and western Wisconsin. With more than 11,000 employees, Marshfield Clinic has a variety of positions available to add to their growing team, both for physicians and non-physicians. Learn more about this world-class health system and 2020 Discover Wisconsin Choice Employer. Get in on something great at marshfieldclinic.org/careers.
Isn't that a cool groove?
Every single week.
The comment on the groove?
Yep.
I know, every time.
I love
it. It's like your thing.
Sorry.
It's now officially your thing,
No, we should
thing,
write
Eric.
It into the outline.
I think it should be officially scripted.
Trigger, song, wait for Eric to comment, and then move forward.
Well, Sam was doing the head bob, too. You
that
know?
Was my first time hearing the sting. That was quite groovy.
We felt camaraderie.
Oh, so you don't listen to the rest of the episodes.
That's a good spot to start.
I would say I'm so busy editing that there's just no time of the day left
no
for listening.
Sure, 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 sure.
Uses. What do you listen to on the way to work?
I actually listen to other podcasts.
Walk him out right now.
Wow.
Walk him out. No, I'm just kidding. So okay, well, on
this
that
is our
note,
guest today.
We have a first-time guest on.
This probably last.
This is our last time.
By the way, this is going.
This is our senior editor for Discover Wisconsin, Sam Trose.
Hey, I'm Sam Trose. I'm a senior.
Emphasis on senior. All right, well, let's go behind the scenes. So I have to say, when I joined the team 7 seasons ago, I knew nothing about production, but I think the part of the production process that was most mind-boggling and enlightening to me was post-production. I think it gets the least amount of credit. I think, and I include you in this too, Dave, audio and editing. I think people just have no idea how much time and work and insanity goes into making these shows work.
And I would imagine tediousness at times, right?
What was that?
Oh my gosh, tediousness?
Tediousness.
Yeah, it can be tedious for sure. So I guess I'll explain what I do. So as Mariah said, I'm the senior editor and at a young 27 senior, a lot of what I do is when a show is done filming out in the field, or even when it's not done, if it's still going on during the summer, we have a lot of the footage come back. A producer will take all that footage and start assembling it by interviews and B-roll, which is like the secondary footage that would go over an interview or stuff like that. So if you're interviewing somebody about, I don't know, popcorn making, mm-hmm. all the B-roll is going to be like popping popcorn and kernels and stuff like that. The producer...
Wait, can you explain what B-roll is really quickly? I don't think everyone knows.
I thought he just was.
Yes.
Oh, that's what it... Okay, I didn't
it's
know.
It's the video you see when somebody's not directly talking.
Oh, okay,
it, right?
That wasn't correct. Super yeah. obvious to me. Yep. I just remember when I started here, the word B-roll was like super mysterious.
Yeah, you were like, what's brawl?
Brawl.
It's what you call your bros in the beach.
B-roll. Yeah, what does the B stand for? Do we know?
I think what's it just stands in terms
B,
of
right?
A is yeah. primary, B is secondary.
Okay, that makes sense.
So the secondary footage will like overlay an interview and make it basically more interesting to look at.
Right.
Rather than just have a talking head.
It's what we cut to essentially while the A.
The A row.
is occurring. Yes.
And then, yeah, so the producer organizes all of that into sequences and bins in our editing program. And then once they're ready, you know, to have a story form from all that stuff, they basically hand it off to us. And we go through a lot of different stages of slicing and dicing this footage, this primary and secondary footage, to form a cohesive story for an episode.
Also, you know, a lot of people don't know what a bin is.
Besides
it's
something
not a
that
bin
you can
like
put things
throw
in.
Film, because there's no film anymore. It's all digital.
Yeah, believe it or not, so. We do not shoot anything on film, even though we have boxes and boxes of all our old film in the studio still.
So I'd still be down to mix now. On tape.
Oh my gosh.
Be my guest.
But when you say bins, what are you talking about?
So we edit in a program called Premiere. It's all this digital stuff. It's software that you work in. And it's just basically a fancy word for saying folders. You put all this stuff in different folders. Could be by location, by date, by the activity, what's going on. And then you're going through a lot of that and being like, oh, this is a good shot. I'm going to put this down in a timeline. Oh, I'm going to take this and put that down in a timeline. Maybe Mariah's making a funny face in this. We'll put that in the outtakes and use it for the end credits.
Naturally.
Outtakes are some of my favorites. Now, for example, our shows are, they're 30 minutes with commercials or what, about 20?
28, 30 exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Sorry. So, but how much... how many hours of footage do you have raw in an average episode?
That's what I think a lot of people will be blown away by, is that sometimes for a DW episode, it could be maybe like 10 hours of footage. But I've seen it this season, especially with, I think we've done close to 25 episodes.
My Madison show had about 40 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
40.
It was a lot of footage. Wow. So that's where it becomes really a team effort, where the producer's doing a lot of the front end organization of things. But then also as the editor, we have to go through and basically look at all of it so we know what's all there and form something that makes sense out of the madness.
Well, and that's interesting because you don't go along on the shoots. You have no idea what you're getting.
No.
So you have to go based on the outline and all that raw footage. You
must get
so sick of looking at our faces.
I could never get sick of looking at your face, Eric. Oh,
I will say, now that we have an office with two floors, and I don't hear the edits as much. In our old office, I used to constantly hear the edits happening, and I used to hate hearing my voice emanating from the edit suite all day long, and I felt really bad for you guys to have to hear that. But
I think that's what everybody, they don't like hearing their voice. That's some like actual condition. I just don't remember what it's called.
Being human.
Honestly, yeah. It could be anyone's voice emanating from the edit suite. I would just be like, I don't want to hear that all day, and I don't know how they can suffer through that and hear anyone's voice nonstop.
And in many
cases, with you, Dave, with audio.
That's why they put me in a soundproof room, so they don't have to hear how many times I loop the same 3 seconds.
And that's the thing, both you, Audio Dave, and you, Sam, you're hearing and seeing the same things over and over and over again. So that's the part. You have to have a lot of patience. You can't be ADHD really in there.
He's pretty energetic. You're the fastest editor I've ever, like, the way you can move is just crazy. I'm the world's pokiest. I love editing, but I'm super pokey. I'm amazed at how quickly he can shoot out a really solid, like, awesome edit. I don't know how you do that.
A lot of it is practice. You just have to practice cutting different things. But the other part of it, and I think Dave would agree, is you have to be technically savvy. So trying to find better keyboard shortcuts, using a better monitor layout, experimenting with different things basically so you can make your technical side faster so that your creative side can keep up.
Yeah.
Are there any episodes of Discover Wisconsin that, and I'm sure at this point you're probably like us, they start to jumble in your mind when you do a ton of them, but are there any that really stand out to you that you're particularly proud of in terms of the edits?
Yeah, I actually made a compilation of notes here because there were so many freaking episodes that we did last season. So some of them that I really liked, there was a part in the Whitewater episode where I think, Eric, you were interviewing a guy there. And he was talking about like the spooky haunted witchcraft in the graveyard.
We were sitting at a table, right? At Second Salem.
This
is my favorite part of the whole season.
I know what you're talking about too. I love this.
And it was unique because, you know, a lot of the Discover Wisconsin episodes, you'll see this kind of flow of really energetic sections and maybe some more somber sections where it's focusing more on nature or trails and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But this is a fun little segment to do because it goes against the norm of, oh, we'll put in some weird spooky noises or canted camera angles and do some weird push-ins.
We were talking about paranormal activity and witches and things like that. So it was very...
It was spot on. The edit was spot on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and you exaggerated one thing of mine.
the gulp.
Yeah. I was drinking a beer with him and...
That's really the job of post-production, is to make us more interesting and more funnier on camera than we actually are.
We don't have to try too hard with our amazing talent.
Oh, shucks.
See, there's a reason we had you in here. This is awesome.
That is a big
love
part of
buttered up.
Why I wanted to learn about editing, is because once you learn how to edit, I think that is where the story, no pressure here, but that's where it goes to die or thrive. I mean, it really does. I've seen some things that have been filmed fantastically, but are just fall short, unfortunately, in the edit. And I've seen the opposite. I've seen editors do things with some not so great footage, and somehow they make it shine in the actual, you know, edit of it. So it is, I think, a lot of pressure for that particular person to, like you alluded to earlier, craft the story, you know, from the ground up.
Yeah. What is the saying? Every every video is written three times, once in scripting, once in filming, and then finally it's rewritten in editing.
Yep, yep. I think a lot of that depends or relies a lot on communication, communicating with the producer ahead of time or the director, whoever it is, to try to figure out what is your goal and what do you want this to feel and look like. And as long as you can try to align that as best you can to get your, you know, polished end product, you've done your job correctly.
And it's amazing the polishing you can do on those things. I mean, we've done shoots where we're like, oh, I don't know how that's going to turn out, or the light was weird, or this and that. And it comes out gorgeous. And smooth at the end. So that's all the work that you have to do.
My old mentor, Isaiah Wells, shout out to Isaiah. He, one of the best things he taught me when it comes to editing, and anyone who wants to learn editing, is just get weird. So whether or not it's with the music or different, you know, color grading or push-ins, cutting itself, get weird with it and try to do something that's different.
It I often have encouraged producers, I haven't used that phrase, but I've asked them to take risks. Because I do think those shoots, those episodes where the talent and the producers and the editors do take creative risks tend to be so much more memorable and so much more interesting. And I'd rather see people take those risks and try it. And even if we do fall short a little bit, I just, that's how you, you know, you evolve the brand and make it better and kind of learn from that. And you've done a great job at doing things that we've never done on the show, you know, over the past 33 seasons, which is awesome. So you mentioned Whitewater, but you said you had a whole list.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think one of my other favorite things was going and being able to see the Oneida episode, the Oneida Nation episode, where we focused on a tribe of Oneida Native Americans performing their like native tribal dances and showing off their museum and their history. Because my wife is actually, I'm not sure what percentage, but she's a decent amount of French Canadian Native American in her. So it's kind of cool just relating that to, oh, wow, this is actually kind of related to me directly in a way.
Yeah.
Is there a certain type of show that could land on your lap and you would just totally geek out over it? Like, what would be your dream scenario in terms of an episode of Discover Wisconsin? An edit?
Probably something like comedic. I'm a pretty goofy guy.
Yeah.
So actually, I really liked, I was jealous of my old partner, John Bartels. He got to edit the Charlie Barons, like a digital short of Discover Wisconsin. So Mariah being able to interview him and having John be able to do like some funny cutaways and things like that. That was pretty cool to see.
So he kept her moving?
Yeah.
He did.
Keep her moving, folks.
That was a really fun edit.
Do the hosts know, or maybe you do know, after going through all this footage, it's pretty funny too, because I have a secret bin on my computers where I save all my screenshots.
I've heard.
Of funny things.
Screenshots and outtakes.
Screenshots, outtakes, GIFs.
And I'll admit, sometimes I try to do stupid or funny things just to make it more entertaining for you guys when you're in edit.
Yeah, we get those little golden Eric nuggets.
I'm hoping. I'd look for Audio Dave has given me a few of my, those are usually when I screw up trying to do voiceovers and I just say colorful words.
Yep.
But this could be.
Yeah. So keep an eye out for all the golden nuggets of outtakes you'll see later on, hopefully.
What's your favorite part of the process? What do you find most rewarding about your job, Sam?
I think two things. Number one, this is pretty obvious, the end product, being able to watch the full thing come together from all these little pieces you're trying to fit together like a puzzle into a entertaining story is pretty cool. And then also just being able to work with a lot of different people in the office here, from the hosts to other editors and the directors and videographers and even, you know, higher up management. Everyone's really supportive and we're open and willing to try different things.
What about Audio Dave?
Oh, Dave is right up. He's up on the hill, the tippy top of the mountain.
And what annoys the crap out of you in your job?
Wait, why are you looking directly at me right now?
When I don't get enough funny things from Eric.
Oh, no.
That's the only bad thing.
What have you done?
Do not stir that.
You just said Beetlejuice three times.
Well, I'm sure he'll remedy that this summer.
I'll do my darndest.
Every other take should be something wacky.
And since this
is clumsy,
the producers are going to love that advice, by the way.
Yeah. And since this is kind of a topic that the average viewer may not really pick up on subtleties of differences in editing and stuff like that, is there anything that, since you've joined the show and kind of joined the ranks of many other people who have edited this show, is there anything that you can kind of point out and be like, that's something that I will typically do as a calling card, or anything that you've added to the show that people might be able to pick out?
I think a lot of the things I try to do from episode to episode is, number one, create some breathing room in between certain events or faster sections, just so you can kind of ease back into the flow. Number two, I like doing a lot of speed ramps at more energetic sections. So going from like a slow motion shot to like a really fast and then back to slow. Mm-hmm. And then number three is a more behind the scenes thing, but just organization. If you want to be a good editor, become good at organizing your bins, your folders, naming. Don't have everything all crazy.
Fair enough.
Very cool. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
Me too.
I love
this part of the process. I think it's so fascinating.
Well, it's a long part of the process, and you go through so much, but you just basically come out with a beautiful product in every episode. And it's always, when we film it, we never know how it's going to turn out.
No, we always think we have an idea. And I think that is funny. And you kind of, or one of you guys brought up the whole like rewriting the script three times. Mm-hmm. That it's true. Like you're on your way to a shoot, you think you know, then you get to the shoot and you're like, oh, okay, this is different. And then you get to the post-production process, and again, it's different. Yeah. So, and you can edit something 9,000 different ways. So that is so always so interesting to me to see how you interpret a story versus how any of our other producers or editors take it on. That's, I think, just, and you can never, I think what always killed me when I would edit just a few things I have edited is the insanity part of it is you're never feel like you're done. At least I don't. Like it just, you could just always do one thing different or one thing better. I'm sure you feel this way too, Dave, with audio, which can be a little maddening. You have to figure out when to draw the line. But we managed to do it. We've got deadlines. So
yeah, the best thing you can do as an artist is say something is done. That's like the final. And if you want to learn editing, you have a phone, you have a smartphone, go out, shoot something, go on to Rocket Jump Film School, look at all their videos, or go on to like lynda.com, start learning software. There's no reason why you can't start editing right away.
Hashtag not a sponsor.
Hashtag no sponsor. But they could be if they want to be.
Great advice though.
Yeah.
Do you have any like social media you want to plug, Sam?
I guess if you want to see some weird, wacky vlogs that I do on the side, go and check out my Facebook, Sam Trose. Other than that, go on to Discover Wisconsin and check out all of our content that we work on.
Mm-hmm. Sam's touched just about all of it. Awesome. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, guys.
It's great having you. Now, please go subscribe to The Cabin and listen to our episodes.
Oh, I'm doing it right now because I've been on the podcast, so I had to listen to this.
Editing is so fascinating.
It is. It's so much work.
So much work.
They deal with so much stuff that they never end up putting in the finished product.
Yes.
But they do such a great job doing it.
Sam said something when I was listening, and it's the same with Dave. I was sitting in your office, Dave, like pretty soon after I had started here, and we were editing like a radio clip, and you played the same thing like five times, and I was like, I can't listen to this anymore. Yeah. I'm going to go insane.
I think that was actually the first episode of the podcast.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I can't.
This is taking way too long.
I was like, I can't even listen to this sentence one more time. I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah, I had to learn the hard way not to ever edit anything in my home. Because my significant other was like, no. I have to lock myself like, in a
please
room,
kind of
like
again.
You guys do, and just deal with it. But anyway, I'm so glad we had him on. We'll have to bring him back, even though he's not an avid cabin listener.
Well, he will be by the next time we have him back.
Yes.
We're going to have to start quizzing him, make sure. Like, hey, what'd you think about that
episode
time
24.
We mentioned Rhode Island on that last episode? What do you
think
about that?
We're going to have to mention Rhode Island at some point, aren't we?
We just did.
No, we're going to throw him a curveball.
Perfect. Ah.
Okay, well,
I guess you threw me a curveball with that, too, though.
I would like to read another review.
Ooh.
Cool.
Because that's what we do here.
Big fan.
Self-praise. We're all about it. Okay, this is Deanna Riddell. It's a really sweet one.
Sure it's not Riddell?
I don't know. Riddell. Okay. That reminds me of Greece. Riddell, hi.
Riddell, hi. Yeah.
As a 30-something living in Wisconsin, it's nice to hear others talk about fun areas to go and cities to see that I might not have heard of or facts I might not have known. I don't get a chance to always watch the show with my busy summers, but listening to the podcast at work has me dreaming of where to go on the weekends and what to explore next. Thanks, guys.
Oh, you're welcome, Deanna.
Deanna.
That's nice.
So sweet. Well, You could have your review read in the next episode of the Cabin Podcast if you head to Apple Podcasts and leave a review there, or just stop by our Facebook group and request to join around the campfire.
I thought you were going to say, like, stop by the office.
Don't do that. That might catch us a little bit off guard.
It's hard enough getting in this place. I don't have a key to the building. I have to ring the bell.
So, yeah.
Well, that just about does it for episode 23 here of the Cabin Podcast. Now, next week, our campfire conversation is Winesconsin. Oh, Ellen.
You have to read what she wrote. Clever. Read what she wrote in the script.
Which part?
Very clever, Ellen.
Yeah, that's why I said that.
You didn't say, did you?
Well, I didn't say it those exact words.
Yes, but I wrote my own praise into the outline.
Gold star.
Please
which
read it.
I laughed so hard when I saw that last night. I thought that was adorable.
Winesconsin?
Give the girl some credit here.
Winesconsin's awesome.
Thank you.
That's why I said very clever.
I didn't hear the very clever part.
I was giving her a shout out.
I'm very happy because it's finally a topic that I'm feeling very confident.
Mariah's going to run this campfire conversation.
Our favorite wineries, yes. I like the wineries very much, too, but you...
I've been on a mission...
You're to wineries like I am to drive-ins.
Yeah, I've been... Well, initially, I had a mission of visiting all the wineries in the state, and now there's like...
yeah.
You, that's wow. ambitious.
You laugh.
I laugh. How many are
because there?
I guess we'll find out next week.
You'll find... Yes. At the time of this mission, there were maybe 50, maybe, and there's well over 100 now, which I still... Wow. I still have this goal.
I said the same thing about craft breweries back when there were about a dozen, and now there's like 200 of those.
Yeah.
So it's but it's nice to see these things expanding in our state, right?
I'm all about it.
So, yeah. So the great summer destinations, perfect time of year to talk about Winesconsin, Ellen. Yes. Because we love shopping local, and there are a lot of amazing options. So our behind-the-scenes segment will be a fun one because we're taking your questions, too. There's going to be some posts on social where we want you guys to ask us anything you want to know more about. And our Discover Wisconsin social media specialist, Abby Stecker, will be joining us to let us know what came in.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. Fan mail. Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by me, Mariah Haberman, Eric Paulson, and Dave Janis. Produced by me, Ellen Fallon, and Dave. Tune in next week for more campfire conversations and insight into the world of Discover Wisconsin. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover Media Works. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com and don't forget to leave us a review.
And here's this week's installment of Know Your Wisconsin.
Some airports are more known and more traveled than others. Two such airports are Milwaukee International Airport, the state's largest, and Whitman Regional Airport, home of the EAA Air Venture. But often, it's the county airports in our state that are easier to navigate and offer a variety of aviation experiences.
In Wisconsin, there's 97 total airports across the state. I don't know how many are specifically county-owned, but those are the ones that are municipally owned, which means they qualify for federal funding.
County airports are all over the state and have grown through the years to provide services that better the lives of travelers and citizens.
We're a nationally designated airport, meaning that we have all the services that you need to fly a plane, to use a plane, to go somewhere, which is nice. We're one of only 84 airports in the country that have that national designation.
Various aviation companies are based at county airports. Wisconsin Aviation has offered services like air charters and flight training at Dodge and Dane County airports since 1981. County airports, along with aviation companies, impact the economy and provide jobs within Wisconsin's counties.
Economic impact is shown to be about $80 million a year, and we employ about 1,000 people because of the airport.
And now you know your Wisconsin.